Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome in a man who covers the Patriots for NBC Sports in Boston, and that's Phil Perry, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Phil, appreciate you making a few minutes. Thanks for the time, and how are you?
Doing well. Busy day. Busy day. Wasn't anticipating covering this kind of story when we woke up on Friday morning, but here we are.
So you wake up on Friday morning, we see some tweets, and there's a little bit vague in the tweets, not a lot of information, and then more information does come out. Now with what you know, how do you react to Robert Kraft being charged with two counts of soliciting a prostitute?
Well, obviously the first reaction is surprise. This is a man who has established a legacy in this area and really internationally. I mean, he's about to get the equivalent of, the Nobel Peace Prize in Israel later this year. But all the philanthropy that he has done here throughout the country, everything he has done in terms of some of the players' coalition movements that we've seen over the course of the last year or so. He's worked very closely with guys like Devin McCourty on some of those issues, and everything, obviously, that he represents in terms of the New England Patriots organization itself and the league as a whole, really been one of the primary players in terms of turning the NFL into what it's become, which is a $25 billion a year business, or at least that's what they're working towards. I think this is the surprise is something that still will linger for a few days here. And now we're just going to try to figure out, A, how he's going to handle it, and B, how the league is going to handle Robert Kraft and how they handle any discipline that they may decide will be a part of this thing. We know Robert Kraft doesn't have to be guilty necessarily of anything in a court of law to be punished by the league under their personal conduct policy. So that's all going to be something that we're going to have to track over the next weeks and however long the story runs.
And Kraft's reps, they did categorically deny anything illegal by the Patriots owner, but there supposedly is a video. What are you hearing about the video right now?
Don't know much about the video, although it sounds like law enforcement in Jupiter said that there was video of the acts themselves that exists. And so this, I think, again, according to what we've gathered from Jupiter PD, this goes beyond, a video of Robert Kraft maybe walking into the building and walking out however long later. So we're going to have to wait and see on that. Obviously, that's something, if there are any videos involved, that I would think that Kraft and his representatives would not want out there. But I'm not sure what you do at this point if you are Robert Kraft, because it sounds like they want to fight this thing, given that strong denial that we saw early on Friday, really not long after the news broke. And it feels like, at least initially, that this is something they may even want to try to take to court. Because again, that statement felt like a confident one to me. And it just may be, kind of standard operating procedure. You talk to people, in that world, the legal world, the legal realm, and that's not a surprising move to those people that he would deny it so strongly so quickly. But you wonder how long this thing may draw out, and if they do take it to court, does that type of evidence, any video evidence, come to light, and is that something that Kraft and his family really would want to endure?
And if I'm Kraft, I just want this to go away. Like you were talking about in the beginning with his influence and his eventual Hall of Fame career, you want to put this behind yourself. You wonder if maybe this was a mistake to categorically deny it right from the start and just kind of lay low. I know you have to release some type of statement, but you wonder if that was the wrong move to definitively deny it, a few hours ago.
Well, the one thing we know is it's Robert Kraft. He obviously, you know, is worth billions of dollars. When a situation like this pops up, he's going to have the top tier sort of representation,
sure,
and counsel on his side. And I'm sure they would not have released a statement without, you know, that kind of advice being part of that decision. So I'm sure, again, that is, you know, maybe it's a sort of leverage play almost in some ways. I mean, if you do want to eventually come to some sort of agreement with the state, you don't want to lose any leverage. And so taking this strong stance means that, you know, they're going to have to get you to meet in the middle if that's where both parties eventually want to go. So I'm sure there's a strategy behind it. And, you know, he may feel like he is legitimately innocent. Again, there's video out there, but we don't know exactly what it entails. We obviously don't know what conversations were had or you know, what exactly happened in the two instances that he's, you know, being charged for. So that, you know, he may feel like he genuinely has a good case here.
Phil Perry here with us, who covers the Pats for NBC Sports Boston. I also think it's important to point out that, and this has not been necessarily reported this way, and people are jumping to assumptions, but what he is, you know, allegedly being charged with the illegal intentions of going to that massage parlor and use your imagination, it's different than from the entire big picture thing here of the women being held against their will. And we don't know if Kraft knew or did not know about that. I would imagine he did not know they were being held against their will, though, if I had to take a guess on it, though.
Yeah, I mean, right now, as you said, he's being charged with two misdemeanor counts of soliciting a prostitute. And that's where it stands at the moment. Typically, you know, that kind of crime comes with it, if you are convicted, a fine. You know, it can at times, in the most extreme cases or the most severe sentences, carry some prison time. But it's typically a fine, and it's typically some community service. And the community service part of it is something that you usually can't get around if you are found guilty of this crime. And so, again, that'll be interesting to see how it all works. If it does sort of go the distance here, so to speak, you know, does Robert Kraft have to eventually go and perform 100 hours of community service somewhere along those lines? I think, you know, bottom line, when you look at this case and you look at the possible punishments, be it from the state, be it from the NFL, you're probably talking about sums of money in terms of fines from either side there, maybe a suspension from the NFL, you know, a la what Jim Irsay had to go through in 2014 after his arrest. But I think the biggest punishment of all for Kraft is just the intense embarrassment that comes,
yep,
with this entire thing for somebody of his reputation and someone who has been so forward-facing, such a face, again, of the league and the team, and someone whose family is very much in the spotlight as well. This, I think that is probably the most severe repercussion of this entire ordeal for Robert Kraft.
Have you heard anything on the front of when he'll turn himself into authorities?
So as far as I understand it, he actually will not have to turn himself in because,
okay,
it is the level of a misdemeanor. And so his lawyers will be able to sort of handle that portion of it for him. But it sounded like that the warrant itself may not be officially issued until Monday. And so things may not really start to progress until early next week.
Phil Perry here with us, covers the Pats for NBC Sports in Boston. Moving to the Patriots in terms of their offseason, away from this story, we know Devin McCourty is now coming back with the team. There was some speculation he could retire, but now he'll be back for next season. On the Rob Gronkowski front, do you get a sense on that, what Gronk will eventually decide right now?
I think he is still thinking it over. I know the team would like to know, you know, what his decision is before free agency begins, before the start of the new league year begins, because if he's going to decide not to play, A, you have a huge hole in that tight ends room all of a sudden, and B, you would have a lot more cap space and money freed up if he decided to retire, which might allow you to go and be more aggressive when free agency begins. So that is a key bit of information for Bill Belichick, Nick Caserio in this front office. Is this guy going to be back? He would be a key part of their offense, even though the production was way down last year. He would still be a big part of what they do, both as a blocker and a receiver in 2019. I think he clearly showed at the end of the season when he was relatively healthy at that point that he could be a big-time factor in a player that other teams have to really account for on a snap-to-snap basis. So that is something that they would like to know very soon, and they don't know right now. And I think that's partially because Rob Gronkowski is still weighing it right now. And this is a guy who's obviously had three back surgeries, somebody who I think has plans to be very active post-career. And I've been saying all through the year, because he is very down when he's a little bit banged up, and he was, I thought, mentally beaten down at times last season. I felt like that would be his last season, and I still would lean that way if I was forced to make a choice. But the fact that he hasn't retired yet would tell you that the door is still open, and we're still waiting for a final call there.
How do you think they'll approach Trey Flowers?
I think Trey Flowers is as good as gone, to be quite honest with you.
Wow.
He is the prototypical Patriot in many ways. I think they would love to keep him around. I think he'd be a great example for younger players, for Bill Belichick to point to Trey Flowers and say, hey, you do everything that Trey Flowers did for 4 years, you're going to be rewarded just as he was. And I think, you know, and if all things were equal, he would be back here because he plays that position exactly the way they want it to be played. But the market for Trey Flowers, from the people I've spoken to, is expected to really get out of control, because it looks like a lot of these edge defenders around the league, some of these top-tier guys, Jadeveon Clowney, Dee Ford, Frank Clark, a lot of them are expected to be franchised, which means there's just going to be fewer edge defenders on the market, period, which means anybody who needs an edge defender is going to be throwing money at Trey Flowers. And you have teams like the Indianapolis Colts, the New York Jets, have a ton of money in terms of cap space, real money to be able to spend on big-time free agents. And I just don't see the Patriots matching the kind of offers that Trey Flowers is likely to get. And so I think that's a spot that they're really going to have to address there too. You could see Rob Gronkowski retire. You could see Trey Flowers gone. You could see them lose their starting left tackle. Those are all spots that they're going to have to address, be it through the draft or through free agency.
When we get to the quarterback position, we know Tom Brady's not going anywhere for right now. But in terms of looking ahead to the future, I know last year they got Danny Etling. I can't remember if that was an undrafted move or if it was a late-round pick, but how do you think the Patriots will plan to address the quarterback situation for the future, if they do at all, in this year's draft?
Yeah, Etling was a seventh-rounder.
Seventh-rounder.
I'd be shocked if they did something similar. Maybe they go a little bit earlier, but I wouldn't be surprised if they waited until day three to take another, you know, roll of the dice on a quarterback again. This just feels to me like a very weak quarterback class overall. And so they're not going to be players, you know, in my opinion, at least for maybe the first four guys off the board, your Dwayne Haskins, your Kyler Murray's, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones, even though he might be available to you at number 32 overall. I would be surprised if they were in on any of those guys. There are a handful of names that I think they would like, guys that are accurate. They may not have the biggest arms, but they seem to think their way through the game pretty well. That's Ryan Finley out of NC State. You know, big guy, a lot of college experience, checks a lot of the boxes that they typically draft. And he's somebody who it looks like would be somewhere between a third and a fifth or sixth round pick, depending on who you talk to. And then the other player that I really like is Brett Rypien from Boise State. He's a little smaller than what they usually draft, but he's 6'2", he's 200 pounds. He is incredibly accurate. Really tough kid, willing to stare down the barrel of the gun and take a big hit and still make really accurate throws. Again, a lot of college experience, so they like that. And I think he could be available to you potentially early on day three. Those are the kinds of investments that I think they would make at that position. I think they're set on having Tom Brady as their guy for the next couple of years.
Last one for Phil Perry. We know that Jonathan Kraft has an enormous role with this team as it currently is, but with the potential of Robert Kraft facing a punishment long-term, do you think maybe Kraft, you know, in the interim, and maybe this expedites the process to give him even more authority in the organization?
You know, I think what would be, you know, I think we still have to wait and see. We have to wait and see what's gonna happen with the legal process here. We have to wait and see how the league is going to handle this if they decide to act at all. I think the Patriots are one ownership group that is pretty well set up in case anything would happen to Robert Kraft, in case he is facing, you know, potentially a long-term suspension, if that's the route the league chooses to go, and that Jonathan Kraft has had a really prominent role in the organization, really since the team was purchased, but especially over the course of the last several years. I mean, this guy is involved heavily in the day-to-day operation and how things work down at One Patriot Place. And so if anything were to happen to Robert, I think you have that security, that stability in Jonathan right there, where there would be no, you know, upheaval in the Patriots front office or in the ownership offices there at Gillette Stadium, just because Robert wouldn't be around for a few weeks or even months.
Phil, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll keep on reading you and following you for NBC Sports Boston. Thanks for making a few minutes for us.
Thanks so much for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.